always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And as much as Jerry Buss, you know, was very wisely famous for letting Jerry West and Mitch Kupchak and even his son for a while do their thing, I do get the sense that Jerry was at least more involved as a sounding board for the basketball than Genie has been. You know, it remains to be seen how much of a sounding board or direct involvement Mark Walter is going to have in all this. But I do think you raise a good point about the idea of pinning down from Rob, what is your vision? Like what, because this coming off season is going to have the most, as Rob would put it, optionality in building a roster from pretty close to the ground up around Luka. Like it's not going to be perfect. You don't have infinite cap space. You don't have infinite assets to trade into your cap space. You don't have a lot of players that you would use beyond the picks to trade in your cap space. Like it's not perfect, but you can't count on the world being perfect, particularly when you are a team that refuses to ever really, if not even fully rebuild, take a step or two backwards in order to take a step forwards. Like when you're talking about Boston or OKC,
he has or Detroit never traded the Spurs. A player for a pick.
Right. Well, like those teams.
Thomas Bryant. Take that back.
Sure. But like teams like the Spurs, the Thunder, the Pistons, you mentioned the Celtics, like they have given themselves multiple paths because they are not always trying to be as ready now for a championship or as close as you can be to a championship, even if in reality you're not that close. Like you're not really that close, but they never want to appear like they are doing anything other than competing for a championship because the Lakers only compete for championships, which to be honest is bullshit. Like that's not how the world actually works. And I think what fans really want to see is a clear path and a vision and a plan. Like I do not expect Rob Pelinka, for example, to this offseason transform the Lakers to inner circle contenders because I don't think that's realistic in one offseason. What I do think is realistic and frankly mandatory is that by the end of free agency, the end of summer, you have a they're better, but B, you have a roster that makes more sense and you can clearly see what's being built and what is being built towards. That's what I'm actually grading on. Like the wheel spinning we talked about earlier, I don't even think all wheel spinning is created equally. Like the period in between trading for Luka and where we are now, I don't really blame them for not being super aggressive beyond that because I don't think the roster merited it and I don't think they really had true opportunities to get that much substantially better. And I did not want them to just make performative theatrical moves for the sake of jazz hands looking like we're doing something. I think Kennard's fine. I think Luke Kennard addresses a weakness on the team, which is shooting. He provides, you know, he's a multifaceted shooting option. You know, he can spot up, but he can also move off screens. Like he's a more versatile, I think, shooting option than say Rui, who's much more of a stationary guy. I don't think it's impossible that Kennard could be re-upped this offseason. I doubt it's going to cost a lot to keep him, no matter who signs Luke Kennard this offseason. He's the type of player that you would want around Luka. You need shooters, among other things. So, but I consider it a modest size move that, again, it doesn't turn them in inner circle contenders, but I don't think there was a realistic path for that anyway. And I have no problem with them not trying to, again, basically message we're going all in, like, because we always have to go all in because that's what the Lake, I don't want that. I don't want them to mess up the opportunities that they have to really build around Luka the way they would want to, a generational superstar in his prime, capable of taking a team to the finals. They've not had a guy like that since Kobe. Like, this is a real opportunity for them. So I want them to leave all their options open. And in my opinion, there isn't much they could have done at the deadline that would have substantially moved the fortunes of this team. So I'm good with them making a relatively, I think, helpful, but relatively in the grand scheme of things, more moderate minor move. But this offseason, those bets are off. Like, there needs to be a tangible plan in place that you can see through the roster. Otherwise, Rob done F this thing up.
Well, and that is where I think Lakers fans find themselves, at least the ones in my chat and Discord and the people that I interact with in Twitter. The frustration that I sense from those fans is, okay, we keep on talking about how important this upcoming summer is and how vital this and how critical this is to the Lakers, to Rob, to all this stuff. When I don't know that I can confidently say, all right, let's say Rob doesn't do everything that we are expecting him to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I can confidently say he is gone after an underwhelming summer. And that is, I think, like having the comfort to be able to spin the wheels on the back end of the LeBron and AD era, and then also spin those wheels at the front end of the Luka era. And then if you don't pull off the everything that you need to in the summer, which was the reason for spinning the wheels over the last year and a half or so, like if nothing comes of that, that leads to just outright apathy from the fan base. And I think that is where, because there is some speculation that I've heard from people who kind of know some stuff, that Genie might have negotiated a 3 to 5 year window as part of the sale of the Lakers. And that's why she, you know, gets to stay on. And that is how, like,
3 to 5 window Harris for herself, his, 3 to 5 window for herself or for Rob?
For herself. And then, like, okay, she makes the decisions for 3 to 5 years. And, you know, and I think so long as Genie is there, I think generally speaking, you can probably write Rob's name in pen there, probably. But I would have thought that about Tim Harris too, though. Like, I would have thought that. So
I will believe, like, that
accountability is the hang up that I sense that people are kind of nervous about. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I need to see Mark Walter's reactions to what do or don't happen before I decide the accountability isn't there. And yeah, like I said before, with some of the wheel spinning, not all of it is spun equally or contextually created equally. When you hear about this summer being one of the most important off seasons in Lakers franchise history, or being incredibly pivotal, like
the last 3-4 years.
Right. Okay. Here's what I would say, and I don't know if this is going to be comforting. I don't know if this will be satisfying to Laker fans, but I don't think I'm necessarily wrong. I think this summer they actually mean it, as opposed to before, when I think that they were doing a lot of spinning. Because, like I said before, I do not think that they fully believed in LeBron and AD, but they did not have the stones to pivot out of it. So it was a self-induced state of limbo. They've only had Luka on the roster for a year, and they were not preparing for this at all. Like, to be fair to Rob, like in a realistic, I think, neutrally pragmatic way, it's a pretty damn big ask to say go from mid-season trade that completely flips how your roster has been built. And by the way, in trading Anthony Davis and Max Christie to get Luka, and no complaints, you traded two of the ideal pieces that you would put around Luka. Like, I don't think it's a realistic ask to expect everything to have been revamped within a year to all of a sudden they look like a more seriously, intelligently, like, systematically built team around Luka. Like, to put this in perspective, when 2004, the Lakers broke up Kobe and Shaq, you know, that whole team got dismantled, traded for Lamar Odom and Caron Butler, who eventually became Kwame, who eventually became Powell. It took 4 years between that and the first finals appearance. And that was with prime Kobe, who, all sincere respect to Luka, prime Kobe is better than prime Luka.
And I remember hashtag fire Mitch. It was a thing.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and they had Lamar Odom, who, damn good player. Lamar Odom was a really good player. That took 4 years to go from that dismantling, which is a pretty radical thing, just like what we're talking about trading for Luka, to 2008 first finals appearance. And then the next two finals appearances, they won titles. I'm not saying that Laker fans should set their watches for 4 years, and that's the time frame to evaluate this. My point is just, in any realistic world, this takes a minute. And what I don't want them to do is make rash decisions that signal we are all in, even if they're not the right moves. Like Mark Williams, for example. The trade that they ultimately rescinded, there was a lot of reporting that one of the reasons they went after Mark Williams so quickly and aggressively, despite all of the red flags that have been there with Mark Williams's health and injury past and what they saw under the hood when they did the physicals, and I would love to know exactly what that was, but there was a lot of reporting that they did that in part to impress Luka. And to really show Luka, who had an extension coming up, we are all in, buddy. This is the way we treat our stars. Like, you want a center? Damn it, we're going to go get you a center. And the fallout from that affected Dalton Connect. Like, Dalton has not been the same, whether you want to talk about him as a player or also a potential trade asset since then. And had they maybe not have been as eager to show off to, at the very least, Luka, what they were looking to do, they might be in a better place with Dalton, and they would be in no worse of a place with a center. So that's sort of what I'm getting at in terms of, I don't want them to just make aggressive moves for the sake of being performative or messaging or whatever. I want the moves to make sense. But that, by the way, that does not mean complacency either, or limitless window, or give Rob another extension on top of another extension to make sure he has ample time to do all this. Like, clock's ticking, buddy. Like, it is a brand new context now.
Yeah, the Williams thing is always it's gonna be one of those things like 12, 15 years from now that, like, from time to time is gonna be brought up and we're gonna chuckle about it.
I can't wait for that oral history of 30 for 30.
Because Lakers people will say, look, we found, and I can't divulge what additionally they found, but they'll say, you know, on top of the knee stuff, there was some other stuff, you know, in his back, and there was some other stuff here, there's some other stuff there. And it was like, we could not, you know, even given we were trying to impress Luka, we could not, we had to go to him. We had to say, hey, we cannot make this trade. We can't acquire this guy. And he has missed some time this year, you know, in Phoenix. And there was a time that he wasn't playing back-to-backs. And so, like, now I think he's been healthier than I think even the Lakers would have predicted he would be this year. But overall, like, you know, just like with the Dorian Finney-Smith thing, right, where I reported that, you know, they had kind of spoken to Houston and said, like, yeah, we're a little nervous about his ankle. And turns out they were right to be nervous about his ankle, right? Because he's not played at all this year. So,
Rob got that one right. I mean, thus far, he actually got that one right.
Yeah, and I think what it comes down to is, like, you know, that in and of itself kind of lends itself to this conversation, right? That like, I can be frustrated that the Lakers are now entering two straight postseasons without a viable starting center with Luka Doncic, when that is probably the most important position that you need to fill on a Luka team. I can be frustrated at the fact that you always need as many two-way wings, and Dorian was great with the Lakers last year, and yet it was now objectively the right choice to let him walk. And it sucks to hear it. Lakers fans aren't going to want to hear it, and they definitely didn't want to hear it in the moment, but that's how it kind of played out to be. And that's where, like, Rob is such a perfect lightning rod for these conversations about the way that the Lakers are run. It honestly kind of reminds me of Lonzo Ball back in the day, where, like, your take about Lonzo Ball told me a lot about how you think about basketball.
Or Magic.
And I think, what's that?
Or Magic, how you feel about Magic, because Lonzo was so transparently a Magic pick. Like, that is the one of the kids that I think you know, most of the kids, to be perfectly honest, I think the internally were viewed as, who are we eventually going to flip these kids for? And they were never truly invested in them, I think, as players. And in a lot of ways, I think, to their detriment early on. Lonzo was the one exception. Magic was invested in Lonzo.
Yeah. I mean, he spoke at his press conference. He talked about Lonzo's number being up there next to his one day and all that stuff. And
but the
Williams thing and all this stuff, like, you know, and that's where, you know, you made the point about, you know, spinning wheels now, not necessarily being the same as spinning the wheels at the end of the LeBron AD era. And like, there is just so much irony at play when one of the ways that the Lakers kind of spun their wheels at the end of the LeBron AD era was Anthony Davis consistently asking the Lakers, hey, can you go out and get us another center? Is that okay?
You know what? I will defend the front office on that. I actually will. I think
they were right. Had they gotten that center, you probably don't start postseasons against, you know, Minnesota's giant front court with Jackson Hayes as starting center.
I mean, I guess, but you don't know that you're going to have Luka Doncic at that point. And the type of center that AD wanted wasn't just like Dwight Howard on a minimum or JaVale on a minimum. He wanted them to invest real resources into a center, which is frankly stupid because Anthony Davis is an elite center and a fine but not great power forward. And it's funny, actually. Do you remember after the Luka trade, Jeannie did an interview, and I don't remember with who, but she said something to the effect of AD was complaining about his role. And then I think she realized that she made it sound like AD complained his way out of LA, which, to be clear, I do not think is what happened.
No.
He's now in Washington, but was in Dallas because they were offered Luka Doncic, and Luka's better than AD in like 6 years.
And Nico had a weird thing for AD. Like, he really wanted AD.
Yes, he did. So like, that is why. But in that moment, I think Jeannie revealed, and not without reason, concerns internally that the guy that is supposed to be taking the mantle from LeBron, our next franchise face, he wants things that don't make sense. And because he wants things that don't make sense,
he doesn't know what position he plays.
Well, he knows what position he plays. He hates it. And, you know, to quote Don Draper, that's what the money's for. Like, I mean, really, truly, you are elite at this thing. You are not elite at the other thing. Like, we need you to do this. Like, it makes no sense to allocate this much extra money towards putting in a center that will not be as good as you. And I think there were internal concerns that the guy that they were looking to make the next face, to make their next franchise face, was not going to be happy. And that's a problem. And I just want to establish, we'll keep talking, but just establish now, because I know how conversations about the front office go, and the things that I've said that have not included prosecute Rob Pelinka for war crimes, it's going to be interpreted as carrying water for the front office. If you are asking me, do I fully trust Rob Pelinka to be able to pull off this offseason? The answer is no. If you're asking me, do I think the Lakers should at minimum be exploring somebody else other than Rob, or mandatory need to be putting more people around Rob? The answer is absolutely. But what I do think is important is, just because Rob is not the best president of basketball ops, GM, whatever the title is this year, like, just because he is not the best at that doesn't mean every decision that he's made has been bad, or that every decision that didn't go well was completely unjustified. Like, sometimes things just don't work, you know, and sometimes you make bad decisions. Like, there can be both. But just because I don't think he is the best in the biz, and I think the Lakers should at the very least explore the idea of finding somebody else, that doesn't mean that every decision is bad. And I think that can get lost. I mean, Sam Presti, I think, is hands down the best GM in the league. He's made mistakes. Like, there's been mistakes under his watch. Like, all Jerry West.
James Harden didn't retire in Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you can even go back on that one. And, you know, James Harden, then people forget that it wasn't a big two at that point. It was actually KD, Harden, and Serge Ibaka. And Serge Ibaka was a really, really good young player, like one of the best defensive players in the league. Like, but the point is, all of these guys have misses. My larger problem with Rob isn't even the misses. It's, and you talked about this before, and I think you're spot on. It's, he's been on this job now for close to a decade. And if you asked me, define his vision for a team, I would say, I guess a lot of ball handling, creating scoring guards, like, I guess, I don't know. Like, I don't actually know what it is. The one championship team that he helped build was in part architected when Magic was truly the ultimate shot caller in basketball ops, and also wasn't his first choice. And certain things ended up happening that Rob wasn't necessarily planning on. Like, kudos to him for taking that flyer on Dwight Howard when I think nobody else truly in the league was going to.
I was against the move.
But that wasn't his first choice. His first choice was DeMarcus Cousins, who got injured before the season even began. Like, Danny Green, Rob deserves credit for keeping in his hip pocket during the conversations and the long drawn out affair with Kawhi, but that was super specific to Danny Green also waiting on Kawhi. Like, if Danny Green had played for any other team but the Raptors, that option isn't there. So, like, there are a lot of very specific things happen that Rob should get credit for. Like, it's under his watch. It's like being president. Like, the bad and good shit that happens all ends up under your watch. So Rob deserves credit for that. But it doesn't give me a clear indication of vision either.
That is, I think, the, you know, this is what we'll kind of end on as we kind of embark on the final 20 some odd games that the Lakers have to wrap up this season. And, you know, I'm not all the way to like sim two end of season, but I'm nearing that point. Like, that, the closest I ever got to that was after that Celtics loss. It was like, all right, I'm done with these guys. But
you're like Pacino in The Godfather 3. Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in.
Yeah, yeah. It's more that my contract with Odyssey pulls me back in.
True.
But like, but like, the, you know, when we're looking ahead to like what is at stake this summer and all of this stuff, it you know, and I talked about this actually with Daman in an offside video, where Rob kind of talked about the undertaking of revitalizing the Lakers organization, building it back up, hiring a whole bunch of people and all of these things, but him still being at the helm of that. And that makes me really nervous, because I don't know what kind of people, given that I don't know what his basketball vision is. I think I do have a pretty good grasp for what his corporate vision is. When he was an agent, he ran incredibly tight ships. That was a really small agency that had monster clients, and a lot of agents kind of marvel at the fact that he was able to navigate those things.